Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of this year's brand new Daily Hope Advent Calendar. It's beautiful. Just go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part 2 of a message called Learning to Think Like Jesus.
As a pastor, I'm acutely aware of the fact that I am always, every second of my life, disappointing somebody. Why? Because you can't please everybody. Now, Jesus said it in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. He says this, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one, love the other. So you got to decide who you're going to live for. You're going to live for God's approval or other people's approval. You're going to live for what other people think or what God thinks. When you have the mind of Christ, listen, you will be so secure in your identity and in your purpose and in God's presence in your life, you won't need to look to other people for validation. When you're always looking for validation from other people, it means you don't really realize who you are, what God made you to do, and that he's always with you. Jesus never let approval, never let fear of rejection control him. You know, he said, I'm not out to win a popularity contest. In fact, at one point in the Bible, John chapter 8, I think it's verse 18, Jesus said he didn't need or he didn't depend on other people's opinions to validate himself. He goes, I don't need it to validate me. So let me ask you a very personal question. Whose approval are you depending on for your happiness? Whose approval are you depending on? Well, you know, I'd be happy if. The truth is, nobody can pressure you without your permission. And so the fifth thing, I don't worry about pleasing others, is the result of learning to have the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you the sixth mark of learning to think like Jesus, having the mind of Christ. This is a big one. I depend on God's power instead of my own. When I have the mind of Christ, I depend on God's power instead of my own. I don't know if you realize all the verses I'm sharing today are direct quotes of Jesus Christ. These are powerful words coming from our Savior himself, not about Christ, but they're actually the quotes of Jesus himself. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this, I assure you that the Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus said, I can't do anything on my own. He said he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Now, if Jesus Christ was that dependent on God the Father's power, aren't you and I? He said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't do anything on my own power, of my own volition, of my own will, of my own initiative. I do what God wants me to do, and I just wait for the Father to tell me. So how do you know? How do you know if you're trying to do everything on your own human power alone? Well, it's real simple. You're tired all the time. And the reason you're tired all the time is because you're trying to do everything on your own power instead of doing it on God's power. Human energy runs out. Human power runs out. We'll look at this again. Every one of these, I'm just giving you a quick overview because we're going to do an in-depth detailed study of each of these aspects of the mind of Christ. Let me give you the seventh. The seventh mark of having the mind of Christ is this. I forgive my enemies and those who hurt me. If you're going to learn to think like Jesus, you're going to have to learn to forgive your enemies and the people who've hurt you, those who've hurt you. This is a hallmark of Jesus Christ. It makes him different from every other leader and religious leader or otherwise in history. I mean, you know this, even on the cross, Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's hanging on the cross. He's in agony and pain. Blood is draining out of the life out of him. And while he's standing there, the very people who nailed him to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. for they don't know what they're doing. That's the mind of Christ. That's what it means to think like Jesus. To be willing to forgive the people who've hurt you. Who has hurt you the most in life? Who are you holding a grudge against? Who are you, you know, keeping back and you won't let them go? You're holding on to the pain. When you hold on to hurt, who are you hurting? You're only hurting yourself. You need to forgive that person, not because they deserve it, because they don't, and neither do you, but you've been forgiven by God. You forgive that person because you don't want to hold on to the pain. You don't want to hold on to the hurt. You don't want to hold on to the resentment. Being unforgiving is like taking poison in your own life and drinking in, hoping it kills them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But here's the thing. He never stops with just forgiveness. He goes even further. He pushes it to the limit. He gives a radical statement and he says, not only have to forgive the people who've hurt you, if you're going to learn to think like me, he said, you got to learn to return good for evil. Look at this next verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I want you to circle the verbs in that. Okay, look at that. Circle love. I have to love my enemies. He says bless, circle bless. I got to bless those who don't bless me, but they curse me. I've got to do good to those who hate me. And I've got to pray for those who despitefully use me or persecute me. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. You say, well, why would I do that? Because the mind of Christ, thinking like Jesus, is the most healthy way to live. It's the most healing way to live. It's the most happy way to live. It's the most whole and holistic way to live. To have the mind of Christ. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you're going to have the mind of the devil. You're going to have the mind of the world. What's that going to do for you? Leave you in pain. All right, let's move to the next one. Number 8, what does it look like to have the mind of Christ? Well, when I have the mind of Christ, when I learn to think like Jesus, number 8, I'm willing to sacrifice for others. I'm willing to sacrifice for others. A lot of people sacrifice for themselves, but if you're going to be like Christ, you must be willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Fall is here now, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife, Kay, created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. This two-part resource includes a calendar with a special door for every day of December that opens to reveal a hidden image and Bible verse. Use it with the companion daily devotional guide to help you and your family draw closer to Jesus and prepare your heart for the real celebration. The all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar will help you spend the holidays worshiping instead of worrying, slowing down and reconnecting with God, and expressing gratitude for the true meaning of the season. You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support the ministry of Daily Hope. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
In John 10, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. That phrase, lay down my life, means I give up my life. I sacrifice myself for the benefit of other people. That's what it means to think like Jesus. In fact, he says many other times in Scripture that he came to serve. He came to sacrifice. He came to give. In Mark 10:45, the next verse, he says this, I came here not to be served, not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Now, that verse right there, friends, summarizes the heart of Christianity. I want you to circle two verbs, to serve and to give. Following Jesus is all about learning to serve others and to give our lives away for the benefit of other people. Jesus once said, it is only in giving your life away that you'll ever really know what it means to fully live. He said, well, I know Jesus sacrificed because he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. I'm not the Savior of the world. I shouldn't have to lay down my life for other people. You know, it doesn't matter. Because if you're going to learn to think like Jesus, you're going to have to learn to sacrifice too. And if you're going to be like Jesus, he's going to take you through everything he went through. You probably know the most famous verse in the Bible. It's John 3:16. John 3:16, everybody could probably quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Very famous verse. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. God says loving and giving go together. Now, you know John 3:16. Do you know 1 John 3:16? That's another little book toward the end of the New Testament written by the same guy, John, the apostle, who was the author of John, the book of John. He also wrote three little letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Now, you know John 3:16, God so loved the world, but you know 1 John 3:16. It talks about our responsibility. And he says there, this is how we know what love is, real love. This is how we know that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Remember, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. Whoa. That's a whole new understanding of what it means to follow Christ. That's a whole new understanding of what it means to be a believer, but a whole new understanding of what it means to be a part of a church family. It says we ought to lay down our lives for each other. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. That's what it means to think like Jesus, that just as God so loved the world that he gave, we ought to lay down our lives for each other. All right? Let me give you a couple more. The ninth characteristic of learning to think like Jesus is this. I want to do God's will, not mine. When I think like Christ, when I have the mind of Christ, then I want to be like Christ. And what was Christ like? He wanted to do God's will, not his own. And all through Scripture, Jesus says this over and over again. Let me show you a couple of verses. In John 6, verse 38, he says this, I came to do what God wants me to do, not to do what I want to do. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do you realize what a radical counterculture statement that is? I mean, almost no one says this today. I'm alive to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. No, we all want to say, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do it when I want to do it, and I want to do it where I want to do it, and I want to do it with whomever I want to do it with. And it's a very self-centered. Today, it's all about me. I want to do what I want to do. Not many people are saying, I came to give my life away. I came to do for others. I came to serve and to give. Instead, we're saying, I got to do what's best for me. Look at this verse. John chapter 14, verse 31. Jesus says, I want the world to know that I love the Father. Now, let me just stop right there. Do you want the world to know that you love God? I mean, really, do you want the world to know that you love God? Jesus says, I want the world to know that I love the Father. That is why, here's the reason, that is why I do everything exactly as the Father tells me to do. He says, I obey God precisely. I obey God exactly what the Father asked me to do. I do exactly what he says to do because I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Obedience is an evidence of love. I do everything exactly as the Father tells me to do. Why? Because I love the Father. Now, it's easy to do what God tells you to do when it's easy. And it's easy to do what God tells you to do when it's fun, when it's pleasurable. But what about those times when God asks you to do something that might be painful? Might be painful. Well, that's included too. The Bible says that God did not spare his own son from pain. He let Jesus go to the cross. And if God didn't spare his own son from pain, why should he spare me or you? Why should I even assume that God would spare us from pain? It's part of the plan. Now, to think like Jesus means that I want to do God's will even when it's painful, even when it's difficult, even when it seems impossible. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. Now, the supreme example of this, doing what God asked me to do, even when it's painful, is Jesus the night before he is going to the cross. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is his favorite place to pray. I've been to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a grove of very, very old olive trees. Some of them right now, they're over 1,000 years old. And they're still there, 1,000 years old. And he would go to Gethsemane and pray. That was his regular place. And the night before he's going to the cross, he's in agony, knowing the pain emotionally, physically, spiritually, he's going to face the next day with all of the 6 trials, 3 Roman, 3 Jewish trials, all the torture, all of the crown of thorns, the being spit on, the being hit, beaten, scourged 40 times with a whip, and then nailed to the cross. He knows not just the physical pain, but the emotional pain and the pain of carrying all the sins of the world, the guilt and shame of that. And in Gethsemane, Jesus says that he wants to do God's will, not his own, even if it's painful. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus says these very famous words. By the way, this is called the Gethsemane prayer, and it's the prayer you should pray anytime you're in pain. There are 3 parts to it. Jesus says, Abba, Father. Now, let me stop there. Remember, I've told you this before. Abba is the Aramaic word for Father. But it's more than Father. It's the most intimate word. It literally means Daddy. And it even sounds like it. It's the first word a little child in the Middle East learns. Abba. Because it's easy to say. Abba, Papa, Dada. Abba means Daddy. And Jesus is crying out in agony before he's going to the cross. And he says, Papa, Daddy, the most intimate term, Abba, Father. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup. It's a cup of suffering. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, notice, I want your will to be done, not mine. Now, friends, there will be many times in life, it won't just happen once, you're going to have a Gethsemane experience where you're in pain and you're hurting and you're praying and you'd like relief. And when you're in pain and you're hurting and you don't know what God's will is, God's will was for Jesus to go to the cross, not to relieve his pain, but to let him go through that pain in order for the good of other people. And sometimes you suffer for the benefit of others. That's called redemptive suffering. And anytime you're in major pain, it is appropriate to pray the Garden of Gethsemane prayer. And there are 3 parts to it. The first part is faith. And Jesus says, Father, Daddy, I know you have the power to change this situation. And you can pray that too. I don't know what kind of situation you're going through right now. It may be a financial problem or a relational problem or a mental problem or an emotional problem or, you know, whatever kind of problem. You start off by saying in faith, God, I know you got the power to change this. If he didn't have the power to change this, you wouldn't be talking to him in prayer. So faith, you start out by saying, God, I know you have the ability. I know you have the power. Father, I know everything is possible with you. That's what Jesus said. And then he said, I'm asking for your help. I would like to be delivered from this. And it's appropriate for you to say, God, I'm asking for your help. I'm in a lot of pain right now, and I'm asking for relief, and I'm asking for you to do a miracle. That's okay. I know you have the power to do it, and I'm asking you to do it, to change the situation. Faith and asking. But the third part of the Gethsemane prayer is surrender. And he says, really, Lord, even though I'm asking for you to take away the tough time I'm going through right now, I want your will, not mine.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, fall is here, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife Kay created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. The two-part resource includes a calendar with a special door for every day of December that opens to reveal a hidden image and Bible verse. Use it with the companion daily devotional guide to help you and your family draw closer to Jesus and prepare your heart for the real celebration. The all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar will help you spend the holidays worshiping instead of worrying, slowing down and reconnecting with God, and expressing gratitude for the true meaning of the season. You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st, and we'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift of support to the Ministry of Daily Hope. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love getting these letters from you when you write in from all around the world. My prayer is that Daily Hope will bring that hope that we find in God's Word to people in every nation. Here's a note from one of our listeners who actually lives in India. Dear Pastor Rick, it's a great honor for me to share how I get blessings from the Daily Hope devotional every day. It's already been a year and a half that I've been reading the Daily Hope devotional, and I thank God for these. I also share these devotionals through social media like Facebook and WhatsApp, and I send the daily devotions to 40 different pastors and 50 different lay leaders and to some of my church members and friends. I send them all over central India and to almost 500 people across the country. Thank you so much for this Daily Hope devotional, and may God continue to use every reader who have been called by God for his purposes. With blessings, Reverend Lang Kim, pastor of the Kuki Baptist Convention, Manipur, India. Well, I love how a Pastor Lamkin is using Facebook. He's using WhatsApp to share these devotionals with hundreds of people in India. Do you realize that when you tell anybody about this broadcast, or when you pass on the written devotional, you're actually partners with us in sharing the gospel all around the world. And the Bible says that as partners in ministry, we will share in the rewards together. Now, this is something anybody can do. And if you haven't thought about it, start making a list of people you could tell about Daily Hope. You could do this. Anybody can do this. And if you go to our website, PastorRick.com, you can share it by broadcast. You can share the devotional. You can share it on social media with just one little click. Do you realize how easy that is? We're trying to help you help share the gospel, which God has called all of us to do. Our ability to reach people all around the world is the direct result of your prayers, your financial support, and your willingness to tell others. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say to you, thank you. I love you, and I thank God for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.